Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Scruggs has it all. John Deere tractors, big and small. Loaded out gators and mowers for every yard. Implements, we've got them. Plus expert sales, full parts, and factory authorized service. Scruggs, we have what you want for less.
What's up? Welcome in on this Thursday night, a day ahead of what will be a huge series for Ole Miss baseball. I assume you guys are going to have some comments about that. And so we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But I saw a best case, worst case prediction or whatever for Ole Miss that was pretty spot on. So we'll talk about that tonight. Also have a couple thoughts about how impactful Trinidad Chambliss is to that ceiling and more. So glad you guys are here. My name, of course, is Michael Borky. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Just search the name Rebel Report wherever you get them and subscribe and leave a rating. If you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review also right here on YouTube as well. Hit that subscribe button, hit the notification bell, leave a comment and a like as well. I would really appreciate you doing that. And before we get into it, I want to tell you this edition of the show is brought to you by Scruggs in Saltillo. Scruggs Lawn Farm Lawn and Garden, not Lawn Farm and Garden. Got to get the name right. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. They have everything you could possibly need under one gigantic roof for anything in the home, the appliances, furnishings, home improvement. Clothes, which has a great selection. Their hat selection is good. Their boot selection is good. Fishing as well. The cheapest beer in town. And most importantly, at Scruggs, the John Deere that you need to get the job done. Whether you're a pro or you have some hunting land or you're just a guy with a yard like me, they've got deals for you. 0% for 36 months on all commercial mowers at Scruggs. 0%, 36 months, all John Deere mowers. Also, 1.9% for 36 months on all Gators, which are an awesome vehicle. And for the heavy stuff, 0% for 72 months on all compact tractors and select 5 series tractors. Offers are valid through the end of the month. You got 2 more weeks to go to Saltillo, which is right on the border of Tupelo. Don't wait. 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo at Scruggs. They have what you want for less, and when you go, tell them that it was me that sent you there. All right. I saw this from CBS Sports. Just a very typical offseason, best case scenario, worst case scenario for every team in the top 25. Brad Crawford was the guy who wrote it. I don't know where the top 25 came from. I assume it's theirs. They have Ole Miss all the way down at 20. Behind Washington and Utah, who's replacing their coach. Ole Miss is too, obviously. Behind Missouri, behind Louisville, who Ole Miss will play in week one. Behind Alabama, behind LSU. They have Miami at 13, which is a little surprising to me. USC at 11, which makes no sense to me. Michigan all the way up at 9. It is an interesting ranking for sure. But Ole Miss down at 20, and here's what they said for the best case and worst case for Ole Miss in 2026. Best case, 11-1, 8-1 in the SEC. Go ahead and give Pete Golding the SEC's Coach of the Year honor if he takes them to 11 wins, matching last fall's total during the regular season. With Trinidad Chambliss and Kewon Lacy back, that's a tandem that should combine for 40 or more touchdowns despite a schedule that includes 5 teams in CBS Sports' way too early top 25. Worst case scenario, 7-5, 5-4 in the SEC. Reinforcements on defense along the offensive line and in the wide receiver room would have to go belly up for Ole Miss to drop outside of the national rankings completely, but it's possible given the slate. The Rebels open against Louisville and Nashville, then host LSU in their season opener in conference play 2 weeks later. They have Texas, Georgia, and Oklahoma during the second half. Those are all losable games. That is a very fair. That's very fair. I mean, I don't think they're going undefeated. So it's just so hard to do. And especially with the schedule being a lot more difficult this year than it was a year ago. I don't think that's on the table. But 11-1 is absolutely on the table, considering the returning offensive production, quarterback, running back, the 3 interior offensive linemen. You guys know all this already. You know exactly why Ole Miss is a team that very well could make the playoff again with this roster. So that's on the table. But they could miss evaluations, right? The tackle position could be really bad. I don't think it will be, but it could be. They could have missed on some portal wide receivers. Maybe the linebackers aren't as good as everybody thinks that they are, for example. Now, I would be shocked, based on everything you're hearing out of spring practice and out of that program, they have hit on the linebacker position in the transfer portal and then some. But there's a possibility that those things don't work out. There's a possibility that even though he navigated the playoff situation beautifully, that Pete Golding in year one, there's a learning curve, a struggle or whatever, that's entirely possible. So this was really, really fair, quite frankly, 11-1, 7-5 being the ceiling and the floor, the best case and the worst case. I will say, though, had a conversation today with our Sports Talk draft correspondent in Rob Paul. I'm going to cut the Ole Miss stuff out and bring that to you in an extra edition of the show. Aired it on the radio show this afternoon, but for those of you that did not hear it, a lot of really good stuff from him. We talked a little bit about Jackson Dart with the Giants, but also Dejon Stribling, who he really likes. Trey Wallace, Xavien Harris, the two tackles that are now off to the NFL and stuff like that. It was a really good conversation. And in that, I asked him about Trinidad Chambliss. And, you know, he said he probably could have been QB3 in this draft, maybe slipped into the late second round, possibly. But he had really good insight on what makes him and what made him have a special season last season. And what's so comforting for you, the Ole Miss fan, knowing that Trinidad Chambliss is your quarterback, the things that he does best are not dependent on scheme, if that makes sense. And all of the things that he brought with him, remember, he brought so late. There was no time for development. He joined the team as late as he did, and the second he stepped on campus, he was blowing people away. And obviously, the second he took a start in week three, he was basically perfect for almost the entire season. That was a ready-made guy. He arrived on campus with the traits that, frankly, you can't teach. The things like, at no point did he ever look flustered, right? The poise, the mental makeup, those kind of things, the decision-making, the athleticism, the escapability, you can work on a lot of that. But there's a lot of natural ability in what he does and the things that he does best: decision-making, escapability out of the pocket, maturity, the inability to get flustered. All of those things don't leave with a coordinator. A coordinator doesn't make what he has good. What he has is a thing that transcends coordinator. And so having a guy like him on your team, just the veteran calming presence, but the maturity, the intellect, the decision-making, and all of those things, I have maybe Chad Kelly, but since I've moved to Mississippi in 2014, right? So I did not get here. I was not here during the Eli years. I don't think I've ever been more confident in a quarterback living up to and carrying the weight of the expectations that he has in the way that I do Trinidad Chambliss. I think that, like I said, everything that he does well is inherent and not something that is created by a play caller. And so even with John David Baker stepping in and Weiss and Kiffin leaving, I don't think that what makes him great changes. And you've seen, especially lately in college football, how unbelievably valuable that type of person at that position can be. Fernando Mendoza is athletic. He's got a strong arm. He's got those things. But what made Indiana great and what made him great this year was all of the other stuff and how valuable his maturity, like how infectious he was, how guys wanted to play for him, how players respected him, the routine, all of those things. That's what makes great quarterbacks great. Why was Drew Brees great? He was super accurate throwing the football, but he wasn't the biggest or the strongest or the fastest, right? It was mental. It was leadership. Same thing with Brady, process, et cetera. And I'm not saying that Trinidad's going to go win a Super Bowl in the NFL, but what you're seeing now is, especially in the era of player movement and rosters flipping over and a whole new crop of wide receivers and those kind of things, when you've got somebody like him, a steady hand, a steady voice, in a leader like him, it's even more valuable than it was 5 years ago. And so, yes, I absolutely agree that worst case, floor 7-5, a lot of things could go wrong. I just think when you've got a guy like him, it's hard to imagine this team bottoming out, considering the type of leader and type of player they have at the most important position on the field. And oh, by the way, quality running game and stuff like that. So, interesting stuff there. Obviously got a baseball series this weekend. I cannot stay very long tonight, guys. Unfortunately, I've got some literal business that I have to attend to here in just a little bit. But I will read some of your comments, and then we'll get out of here on this abbreviated edition of the show. Brought to you in part by Logan Smith Shelter Insurance. Auto, home, life, or insurance for your business. Anywhere in Mississippi, if, again, you need auto, home, life, or insurance for your business, anywhere in this great state, 601-823-3500. That's the phone number, 601-823-3500. Give them a call, get a quote, tell them that it was me that sent you there. Logan Smith Shelter Insurance, giving you the quality of service in what is a increasingly frustrating field that is insurance. Go to somebody that will take care of you, that will get to know you, that will acknowledge you, and that will be Logan Smith at Shelter Insurance. Check him out there. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every day with their online banking platform, local loan servicing, decision making, 16 locations in Mississippi. Switch and bank with me at Priority One Bank. Say, sup, Porky? What's up, Muhammad? How you doing, man? I'm sure that's your name there. man, good to see you though. Heck yeah, glad you're finally getting to catch alive. Good to see you, Joseph. Awesome with the super chat. Really appreciate you, man. Completely unnecessary, but thank you. Very appreciated. You say Neil and Chase said that Chancellor Boyce is warning us that we're getting close to the day a football/basketball team refuses to take the field. A strike, in your opinion, what would a strike do to college football fans?
Labor stoppages have always created a rift and had some damages that lingered. But look at every sport that has had one, they've recovered. I don't think that. What's the reason why? That's the next question. Is okay, they refused to take the field. Why? What was the reason? Was it because they were given contracts and those contracts weren't fulfilled? Because that's not the player's fault. If you offer me a contract and you agree to pay me a certain amount and you don't pay me, I am not providing you the service that you're supposed to pay me for. So if that's the reason, some people will get annoyed, but I don't think that'll have damaging effects because the overwhelming majority of people not only accept that players get paid, but think that they should. As we're learning, it's a minority opinion that college football players should not get compensated. So if a team refuses to play because they don't get what was contractually obligated to go to them, it won't bother me one bit. If they just refuse to play because they refuse to play, that's maybe different. But I don't know. Maybe I'm naive. Man, if you come to an agreement, a financial agreement with somebody, and you fulfill your end and they fulfill their end, you're not going to have a strike. You're not going to have that. But I also think that they should stop treating football and men's basketball like they're tennis and golf and collectively bargain with them. And yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's difficult. Yeah, a lot of things have to happen, and it's easier said than done, but they should have done this years ago, and they could have been working on it for years, because the quarterback is not the same as the tennis player, and we need to stop pretending like they're the same. But you guys know that about me already. College has never had to deal with a labor work stoppage before. What happens to the body shop guy who lives in Pontotoc that goes to Vaught Hemingway and watches games? Does he come back when the strike ends? I think I don't think that's going to be a widespread, rampant issue. I really don't. And I don't know, man. I think the body shop guy in Pontotoc is smart enough to understand that if that's the reason why, I don't know. I mean, there's just that's an empty. I'm yapping. Sorry, guys. I'm yapping too much. But there's just, why did they do it? I have to know why they did it before we react to the hypothetical, I think. What position group do you think has the biggest gap between floor and ceiling? Probably receiver or tackle. Offensive line. Offensive line has the biggest gap between floor and ceiling because of the tackle position. Yeah, I think the wide receiver's floor's higher than offensive line. But now offensive line has an incredibly high ceiling too. Returning those three guys in the middle is huge. Veteran leadership on that offensive line is massive, right? So if you figure tackle out, then you are really cooking with gas with what you have up front on the offensive line. But if you don't, and that position is a revolving door and guys don't translate like you thought they would, et cetera, then you got a problem on your hands, right? I think that's the position group with the biggest ceiling and floor. 7 wins would be such a letdown and a regression. Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, you'd have buyer's remorse on Golding. Any updates on the basketball transfer portal? Correct me if I'm wrong. Ole Miss does not have a complete roster at the moment. No, not even close to a complete. No, there's a lot of work to do for Chris Beard in the transfer portal. You got to see when it's complete before you react to it. But so far, the start of the portal is not something to throw a parade over. But it's not over yet. You know, the roster has not been completed. And so kind of hold off on giving a sweeping judgment one way or the other until it's over. Most underrated position group, I think it's running back by far. Ooh. Tight end by the end of the season will be the most underrated position group, I think. Just because running back has Kewon Lacy, and so automatically it's like that Ole Miss running game is going to be sweet. With Daquan Wright gone, Luke has had to battle injury, so he didn't play much. There's not a lot known about the tight end room from outside, but I think there's a lot there. Oh, Chris, I was just messing with you about your username, man. No big deal. No big deal at all. First time in your life where it feels like the ceiling is the natty. Yeah, so that's regular season best case, worst case. Yeah, if they go 11-1, that is absolutely a team that can compete for and win the championship. So excited about Trinidad and Lacey. Those guys are out of this world. Started watching almost football in 2020. Never seen anything like what they are, studs. So why did you start? Did you, is that when you decided to go to school there? I'm curious. Why did you start in 2020? No wrong answer, by the way. I am not somebody that fan shames anybody that, like, if you adopt a team because you adopted the team, okay. you know, Ole Miss needs more people that didn't go to Ole Miss to be fans. You look around the Jackson area where I live, and I mean, you go into stores and they've got Alabama, like you go into the pet store here and they've got like dress your dog in an Alabama sweater. Anyway, so are you a student? Did you? I would love to hear it. Currently, the players have all the power possible. Only thing that could create a strike would be heavy regulation causing major pay cuts. And the only way that regulation, heavy regulation comes is through an effectively illegal way or a way that could violate American antitrust law, and they'll just take that to the Supreme Court, or they collectively bargain, in which the players would have a say. Hey, Benny, come on. Let's not act like that in the comments, man. We're all friends here. Glad my face is cleared up. It's getting there. I just, man, sometimes out of nowhere, I just, you know, I've been to dermatologists and stuff, and sometimes it flares up, and then I have to be on camera every day, and you know, and it's worst at night. That's the worst part, is it's always when it does happen, the worst time of day is at night. So, oh well, I appreciate you. Already purchased your tickets to the LSU game. It's your wife's birthday. So excited. Just don't get in a fight and get kicked out. We've seen that recently. Defensive line, most underrated by national media. They aren't getting the credit that they deserve for the talent that they have there. Okay, grew up a Giants fan. Your mom telling you to hate Tom Brady because the GOAT is Eli Manning. Much loved the Manning family. Perfect. What awesome, man. Glad you're here. Really appreciate you. And have you been to a game yet? I know we're like I'm doing one-on-one podcast right now, but if you have not, we will we'll make that happen for you. $1,400 for three tickets in the south end zone. Oh man, I hate to say this, you probably could have gotten a little bit of a lesser price, but I'm an Ole Miss fan in Louisiana that didn't go to Ole Miss, and it's brutal with all these Tigers over here. Hey, keep fighting the good fight, man. Keep fighting the good fight. I don't know how you're dealing with it. Although I did see somebody decided to take to Twitter to show that he's not happy that he has to play against Trinidad this year. That was interesting because you know, not too terribly long ago, he was lobbying on his behalf to get an extra year. And then suddenly when that extra year didn't turn into a transfer to LSU, the person suddenly is against the concept of getting injunctions. It's interesting how that. Interesting how that works. Haven't been to a game yet. Do live in the South. You'll make the pilgrimage one day. Keep in touch here. I do occasionally get my hands on some tickets. It won't be like for the LSU game, but keep in touch here. And if I get my hands on tickets, I will get you into through the Grove and into Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. The Ole Miss fan from New Jersey because of Eli Manning, who now lives in the South. I got you. Just. You know, you gotta stay on the stream come season, and I will help you out. It's too late. It's fine. My wife has never been to a Power Four game. I mean, you picked a great one to go to. You really did. I opined yesterday on the radio show that I wonder if just because of everything, they'll put that game during the day, not 11 a.m., but a 2:30 game. frankly, for safety purposes. And not that I think that the typical going to the game Ole Miss fan in the Grove is going to be violent and create issues. What I think is going to happen in that game, you guys have seen it. There are people every weekend, every game, that come into town because that's what they do. And they try to start stuff and whatever. That happens every game. I remember in college, I mean, groups of people drive in from South Haven and try to start stuff at bars just because that's what they wanted to do on their Friday night, right? College age people that were not at the school that would come in on the weekends and act like clowns. Think about, and that, like, that's a common thing. Think about what that weekend will bring in. The people that don't have tickets to the game, have no interest in the actual football game, that will come into town just to be confrontational. I think that is the biggest problem in all of this, is you're going to have people that will show up just looking to stir shit up, forgive my language. And so that's easier to police during the day. And this will be, I mean, the most emotionally charged game in quite some time. And part of me wonders if they're going to look at that and say, it's just easier to police the BS when the sun's up than if the game kicked off at night, especially depending on the outcome of the game and the way people start acting. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's me talking soft. Could be, I suppose. I don't know. I know how people are. And I remember what it was like being out on the square on Friday nights before games and the kind of people that would roll into town trying to start stuff. And you know that's going to happen all that weekend 10 times over. So, I don't know. Yeah, and no rushing the field. Nah. That's done. You've arrived as a program. Don't even make that a thing. Students will throw drinks on the field. See, things like that. I mean, part of me wonders if you keep the field goal nets up the whole time. And stuff like that. I don't know. Again, maybe I'm being oversensitive, but we've already seen, and it was just one guy, but a guy going to a student section in April at a baseball game, looking to start stuff, putting hands on throat, stuff like that. That's going to be magnified 100 times over, or emotionally enhanced 100 times over. You guys, and you know, when I talk about this, and just like I did on the radio show, the people that are going to start stuff aren't listening. But you said they won't do this, but I heard someone say there won't be any alcohol sales in Vaught Hemingway that day. Oh, there's no way. There aren't enough field goal nets in America. If Lane does a single thing to light the match, Vaught Hemingway is going to go up like a bonfire and it will be biblical. I think I've told you guys this before. I do think that the league office needs to, now that some things have been put on Twitter, need to step in and make sure that stuff like that doesn't happen anymore. You can't have the most visible central figure in all of this doing that. So I'm a bit behind, but the body shop guy in Pontotoc isn't going to leave because there isn't an alternative in Mississippi for him. Ole Miss and State are the only game in town. And I mean, they played the games, but remember during COVID, people thought that when you don't let anybody in the stadium, they're never going to come back. And what is the first thing everybody did? The second they were allowed to, they were able to come back. That disruption didn't change habits. Now, again, I know the game was played. It's a different circumstance, but you guys weren't allowed in the stadium for an entire season. And you came right back the second you were able to. I think that we keep hearing people say college sports is dead, or this is the death of college sports. And I'm witnessing in real time fans be completely and totally unaffected, both here locally, you guys, selling out games, packing the stadium for the freaking Citadel, despite the narrative to the contrary, selling out season tickets, going to 8 home games, traveling all over the country, and then geared up, ready to do it again this year. Ratings nationally are huge. Stadiums are packed out for the decent games all over the country. And, oh, well, but, you know, the FCS games have never had full stadiums across the country. So people are showing up. People are watching. If the sport's dead, when does it die? When does it die? I think, frankly, a lot of people have talked about this, but you simply just might be too connected to where nothing will ever stop you from doing it. Kids my son's age, maybe that's the generation you need to worry about. But you guys, COVID didn't deter you. Players getting paid. Transfer portal didn't deter you. More accessible games on television didn't deter you. Rising cost has, I mean, when is it going to show up that the sport is dying? Greg Sankey's a powerful dude who doesn't like to use his power. I do think that he helped the College Football Playoff Committee make the correct decision regarding Ole Miss. I do think he did step in there. I have heard that from a place that I believe that to be true, that he made sure that they understood that the entire coaching staff was sticking around, blah, 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 all that stuff. But, I mean, you've heard me before. I am not the biggest fan of a lot of decisions that the league office has made lately. If you win, it's okay. But when you don't, it really doesn't work. Look at Arkansas and Kentucky as my two examples. But here's the thing. When have anybody ever supported awful teams? When has that ever happened? Arkansas has been awful for a decade. When has a team that's gone through 10 years of bad football ever shown up, had a fan base that filled up every game? You know, Ole Miss had some bad years, man. I went to the Louisiana Tech game in, was it 2011? There's 15,000 people in the stadium. 5,000 by the fourth quarter. Maybe. Look at the pictures at the Cal game with John Rhys Plumlee, the amount of empty seats in that one. I mean, people have never supported losers, ever. So I don't buy necessarily that talking point either. Is, well, when the team loses, it's easier to check out. Well, yeah. We've always checked out when the team lost. And that's every fan base. Look around. When the teams have been bad, nobody has gone to watch them play. I don't know. I mean, it just might be too big to fail. That was the day they lost to Jacksonville State. Absolutely pitiful. Remember, because you got fired for the first and only time the day before. Oh, no. Do I think Ole Miss deserved to go to the playoffs in 24? Absolutely not. And I talked about that at length. I thought the messaging and the tweeting and all that stuff. And I said it at the time, you can go back and find it. Was a little embarrassing considering just don't lose to Kentucky. I did not agree that Ole Miss should have made the playoff in 24. I think that was as simple as don't lose a game to the worst team in the league or one of the worst teams in the league if you want to make the playoff. And if you don't, you only have yourself to blame. So being in VHS for Jacksonville State was awful. And now think about that, by the way. Another one. It was definitely embarrassing. But think about where things are now. How you felt then versus how you felt, you know, New Year's Day in New Orleans. New Year's Day in New Orleans makes all of those feelings worth it, right? That's why you do it. That's why you do it. One day, Gail Benson's going to reward me with a good basketball team. Maybe 2036. I don't know. I'll get one eventually. And when that day comes, it's going to feel amazing. That day's probably never coming. But if it does, all of the crap, I mean, I watched probably 50 of the games, truly watched 50 of the 82 games they played this season, and it was torture. And that is the fewest amount of Pelicans games that I've watched since I adopted them. They're just, but just like in New Orleans, I'm going to take a moment and look back at the hard times, you know. Am I going to be at the LSU game? Yes, absolutely. In the press box, though. But yes, I will be there. My plan is to go. Now, we have soccer. Soccer is an issue. Living out of town and having soccer games is a problem. Because I am not, you know, I've actually had somebody, not that I work for, but I have had somebody tell me privately that I need to get over that because there is great value in going to the games. And I can't believe that that was said to me. I will never, unless my work requires, that's, I guess, different. Not I guess, that is different. If I am required to go by my employer, I'm not losing my job over that, I suppose. But I am not missing a soccer game or a golf tournament or whatever. I'm not doing it. I refuse. So soccer does get in the way. Soccer does get in the way, but I will be at that one regardless. Am I bringing a helmet? No, I'll be okay. I'll be fine. You guys might need one, but I'll be in a protected building. We went longer than I intended, but that's okay. A lot of just random off the wall. We didn't even really talk baseball at all. Huge series this weekend. You don't want them to slide backwards, but I do think if they just go up there and get one, it's okay, depending on how it looks. Like if the offense regresses and they only put up two runs in two games and stuff, maybe we're having a different conversation, but just go out there, go get one, come back home, and you're okay. But it is a big series. It's kind of a prove-it series. They appear hot right now. How hot are they? We're about to find out. So, anyway, I appreciate you guys. We'll be back live on Sunday night. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your baseball. I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you then.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.